Published or Not has been around for years, but now Jan Goldsmith is joined by
David McLean. We will chat about words and writing, authors and audiences, publishers and printing, a voice for them all on 3CR.
Published or Not, every Thursday, 11:30 till noon.
When you get home, baby, write me a few of your lines.
Well, listeners, today, well, look, we're having a broad discussion about characters with a disability in literature and the importance of authenticity. Writers with a disability writing their own stories. But before I get into that, I want to talk to somebody who reads. Good morning, Leah.
Good morning, Jan.
Now, Leah Van Poppel, she is the CEO of Blind Citizens Australia. But you're a reader also, aren't you?
I am a reader. And Jen, it's funny we should be talking this morning. I'm sitting in the Wheeler Centre surrounded by books I can't read because they're in print. I read by using large print on electronic devices these days, so through a Kindle on my iPad. I make the print as large as I like and I can change the contrast. And some people who are blind or vision impaired use Braille or will use audio to read.
Is it then sort of an area of censorship, like you can only read the books that are put into Braille?
I think for a long time that may have been, you know, an issue for people, but to get material transcribed into Braille, often what you have had to do previously is go to a service provider like Vision Australia, and they will do that for you. I'm not sure whether or not there've ever actually been any rules around censorship, but certainly I would imagine that if you wanted to read something that was a bit risque, or if you wanted to just pick up a copy of something very controversial like Mein Kampf in Braille, you know, you might feel uncomfortable about even making that approach. But these days, now that we have electronic access to both audiobooks through Audible, which lots of people use and not just those of us with disabilities, and through Kindle and other e-reading apps, it means that we've got a whole spectrum of access to information, and it also means that we critically have our privacy about what we read.
Fascinating. Now, Leah, so you've got this choice of books about what you want to read, what you can read, but I'm just wondering, what type of books do you prefer to read?
I will read pretty much anything, but my preferences, are things like science fiction and fantasy. I also love to read, you know, now that I can read newspapers online, I'll do that. For years, of course, I couldn't access them. I love to read, essays and political opinion. I'd love to be able to read comics, but that's still a bit difficult with my vision.
Now, look, being today the Day of Disability Day, what I'd like to now talk about is disabled characters in books. I'm sort of thinking about this, and I'm thinking, well, quite often we come across, like blindness, there was always the life story of Helen Keller. And then there's these, one of the first books I ever read was I Can Jump Puddles by Alan Marshall. And so we get some of these books about physical blindness, and often it's look at it as a character overcoming odds, or sometimes, yes, well, is this your type of reading?
Yeah, look, Helen Keller's an interesting one. I'm actually both, I'm deafblind, which means in my case that I have a vision and a hearing impairment, and Helen Keller is often put forward as the deafblind, you know, person, that the one deafblind person that has ever been. For starters, I think that shows a lack of diversity in the stories of people with disabilities that are out there. And for seconds, what's interesting about Helen Keller's story is that very often it focuses on, you know, how she came to be able to communicate, and if it goes beyond that, it talks about the inspirational things that she said and did during her life. But very often the narrative around Helen Keller actually ignores the fact that she was very involved in the union movement. She was very involved in trying to fight for workers' rights. She was really politically active. And many of the pieces of work about Helen Keller and many of the stories about her ignore that. So it's like she has agency as a person with disability to learn but not to be an active political participant.
Like, don't, you know, only look at my disability, don't look at my abilities.
Very much.
Oh, interesting. Well, now, look, quite often, and I looked up on Google and it often gave lists, people have made lists of disabled characters in fiction. And I was looking down this list and I found that most of them had books that were either YA, young adult, or fantasy or science fiction.
Yep.
And that draws us into your area. Because I don't know much about science fiction. It's not one of my big reading areas. So tell us a bit about disabled people in science fiction. Are they shown just for their disability or are they shown for their ability?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think it's a good point to make that, really people with disabilities are often shunted into a few different genres. I read a lot of literary fiction and it's rare to come across a person with a disability there. And even when you get into the genres where they tend to be a bit more present, like science fiction and fantasy, I would argue that they fall into a few different categories. So you have the people with disabilities who are the evil masterminds or the kind of shady characters, and you could talk about Tyrion Lannister from Game of Thrones if you wanted an example of that. Or you have people who are, who are special because they have abilities that everybody else doesn't have. And that's sort of another way of overcompensating for disability and highlighting it in the process. So you might talk about, there are books where there are blind empress and that sort of thing. And a lot of it, too, is focused on, A, men. So a lot of the majority of your evil masterminds in books are men anyway. And then when you start talking about disabled evil masterminds, of course they're men too. B, the disability is not incidental. And C, I think the fact that you have people with disabilities in these books and they're not talked about or shown just as every day is really, really, it's an indictment on the way that our authors talk about disability. And they're very rarely characters that are written by people with disabilities for other people with disabilities.
So this whole empathy thing is, well, not, don't tell my story, live my story. Is that what you meant to?
Certainly. And I think because we have, going back to what we were saying about some of the autobiographical stuff out there around disability, because we have so few stories out there about the real lived experience of people with disabilities, and because people with disabilities are so hidden away still in many areas of society, we then find that it's much harder for authors who don't have a disability to kind of do disability well, I think. It's, hard to do that kind of research and to be genuine about it if you don't have a lot of stories out there to refer to.
I'm just quoting a kid lit writer here, Kayla Whaley. For an able person to read about a character with a disability shouldn't be any more scary than reading about a blonde reading about a redhead. And I thought, well, I can understand that. They should just be part and parcel in our books, in our stories, and just not talking about the disability, but maybe just the, what they are doing, what about themselves.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think, it's the fact that we don't do that speaks a little bit to, where society is as a whole. I mean, books can shift our perceptions and it's important that they're able to do that. But they also reflect our perceptions at any given point in time in society, I think. And, you know, I personally would say I have experiences where people think I'm extraordinary or think I'm incapable because of my disability, when really most of the time most of us would want to be able to just go along with our lives and not be told someone's really proud of us, for instance, because we have a job, or someone doesn't think we can work out where we are because we have a disability. You know, there is a real desire among people with disabilities to just be seen as people.
Another quote. There should never be a negative portrayal of characters with a disability, as they are fully human and their experience of life is as complete as everyone else's.
Mm.
And I thought, yeah. Well, I think
that's a trickier one, because when you talk about not portraying people negatively, I think it's always fraught, because sometimes people with disabilities are born with their disabilities and they're really pretty happy with the way their lives are. And some people with disabilities have a different experience. They come from being able-bodied. They come from knowing something different and then having to really adapt to disability. And that doesn't mean they can't get to a point of being proud of who they are and being accepting of their disability, but that's not always the case. So I think it's a really tricky area. And I think a lot of people would desire not touching on that negativity, because we are in a place where it's so hard for people who acquire a disability to come to an acceptance and to get over the barriers that they then have to suddenly face.
Well, Liv and Pobl, it's been really interesting to chat with you as another reader. A reader in a genre that I'm not that sure about. So thank you very much for chatting with us on 3CR.
Thank
you. Hi, this is Tanya and you're listening to 3CR Radio. Happy International Day of People with Disability, and keep smiling.
I went for a jog in the city air. I met a woman in a wheelchair. Said, I'm sorry to see your handicap. She says, what makes you think a thing like that?
I really don't like this concept of teaching people to see the person and not the disability. So why can't people see a person with a disability and not freak out or not feel uncomfortable? You know, it's like that weird backhanded compliment that we get when people say, you know, oh, I don't think of you as disabled because you're my friend, or you're really cool, or because you're just like me. And can we not be all of those things? Can we not be cool and likeable and people's friends, but not also be proud of our disabilities? I kind of hope that we can.
You out there are listening to 3CR AM.
So we moseyed on over there, but the only way in was up a flight of stairs.
Now I'm chatting with an author that, if you listen to this program, you would have heard a few times. Good morning, Honey Brown.
Good morning.
Right. Well, Honey Brown has been on this program, as I say, a number of times with all her psychological thrillers. I think there's about five of them, isn't there?
There's five, yes. And the last one's Saucier, so six counting that one.
Right. And then Honey Brown had a real change of genre when she went into short stories about sex.
Yes.
And that was called 6 Degrees. And look, I still have, I've got a lot of friends who have laughed at that book and thoroughly enjoyed it.
Oh, great. That's really cool to hear.
Now, books generally, well, look, I'm speaking with you, and I know I've read basically every one of your books, and I don't think you've got any characters with disability. Is that correct?
It's true, and I've just finished listening to Leah, and I have to say how wonderful it was. Just loved all the topics you touched on. And really close to my heart, because that last thing she said about there's so many different types of disabled people, and we come from it from so it's all these different ways. And for me, I acquired my injury, so I have a spinal injury, and it feels very much like an injury to me. So I think that really sort of leads into why I actually haven't got a lot of disabled characters in my stories as yet. Like, that might come, but as yet, I haven't, for some really sort of I guess, sort of really emotional, really base reasons.
Yeah, well, on radio, nobody sees your wheelchair, do they?
Well, that's right. And, yeah, so in respect to that, I think a lot of riders, and we have to look at it two different ways. Like when we talk about disabled riders, sometimes when you're a creative person, we're coming at writing from a really different way. It's, you know, it's within us. It's a real creative urge. It's our passion. So for me, when I started writing, it wasn't about me wanting to sort of push any sort of disabled agenda at all. It was really just about finding myself because it was so soon after my accident, which was in 2000, and it was a farmyard accident for the listeners. So I think it's really interesting that there's, when we talk about creative writers with a disability, that we don't box them and say, you know what, they really should write disabled characters because, you know, they're disabled. So often is the case that creativity is something that's something within us that's not touched actually by that disability. Like it's quite pure. And I found that after my accident, I went to my creativity to really heal. So I think it's really natural that I wouldn't then turn around and write, you know, all about disability because, you know, I was in a sense saying that disability doesn't define me. You know, here I am, like I was looking for myself. But having said that, I think in the future, once you heal and become a stronger person, you can actually put those disabled characters throughout your stories, but in a really, like Leah was saying, in a really sort of matter-of-fact, everyday way. Because you know, don't necessarily want to dwell on that because it's such a hardship. Does that make any sense?
It does because I've done a little bit of reading about this and looking at some of the characters in fiction, and I suppose I'm thinking of Captain Ahab from Moby Dick.
Yes, I thought of that one. I had that one jotted down.
Yeah, well, if he didn't have the disability, he wouldn't have wanted to go and kill that whale.
Well, I mean, I love that example because, so a whale was the reason for his disability and he lost a leg. Well, a cow, as, you know, undramatic as that sounds, was the reason for my disability. So on a farm, I was charged by a cow. And I can tell you that I didn't go on some sort of mad, wild hunt for the cow. And you know, but I think that's really true of, like, we're talking about stories and drama. So, of course, you know, in Moby Dick, you know, there's the drama. But in real life, like, as if I had some sort of vendetta against the cow. Like,
well,
I'm
going to have to start thinking about your books now and see whether you've ever done the dirty on a cow.
I promise you I never have. But I mean, it is a really natural thing for people to say, oh, did you hate that cow? Was that cow put down? And I have to sort of blink and think, oh, what did happen to the cow? I don't think anything happened. I didn't really have any anger towards the animal.
So blame can quite often be a plot line in something with a disability.
I just think in general that a lot of boxes come into it, and I think that so often what we're just trying to... creative people are very much like that anyway. We just say, can we please not have any boxes, not have any preconceptions? Can we just sort of open up the field?
Well, what other books did you have with disabled characters as a thought?
Well, I actually thought about one by Anita Shreve, Eden Close, which was about a blind person. And I find this quite interesting because there seems to be a lot of focus on blind people in literature when it comes to characters. And so that's why I love listening to Leah. And I wonder if that's because we have this preconception, this idea that to be blind is very sort of closed and shut. It feels like people really love this idea of there's a corner that's turned and then everything's all right. So we have this idea with blind people that, I don't know, they've somehow got over it and it's sort of quite complete. So we feel like we can go to those characters because that almost like they're safe ground. So there seems to be a lot of blind people and amputees in literature. And I think it's for that reason that we can't cope with this sort of open-ended idea. And I think with a spinal injury, it's very open-ended because, I mean, in a sense, the injury never sort of ends and there's no sort of neat little bow tied to it at the end of it. There's a lot of pain involved. It's very ongoing. There's not that lovely sort of story arc that we like, that sort of nice little finish. So I don't know that it suits stories, but I think it should. Like, I think we're all grown-ups, and I think we can actually hear that people live with hardship, and it doesn't have them crying on the floor every day. They just deal with hardship. So I think in literature that's where we need to sort of spread into that sort of realm. We need to say, you know what, we're all grown-ups. We can all handle hearing about toughness, and there doesn't have to be a bow at the end of it.
I know I'm changing topic a little bit here, but I went to a session at Wheeler Centre about queer literature, and it was the 20th anniversary of a lot of books that were written, Christos Tsiolkos' Loaded, Dorothy Porter's The Monkey Mask, and Holding the Man. And there was sort of this whole thing about, on the panel, the screenwriters or sort of author representatives were talking about how they never wrote it as queer literature. It was just what the characters were doing in the story. They wrote the story.
Well, that just sounds like proper art. And that's lovely, and that's how it should be. And I hope that once I'm at the stage, because with my writing, I love, anyone that's read any of my books will know that I love sort of the dark and light and people. I'm interested in crime. Like, it's those things that really draw me. And when you're a creative person, there's always this sort of questioning element to your work. And if that's there, you're an artist. Like, you're questioning, you're asking questions. And in a strange way, my grandfather actually had a disability because he had a stroke and he ended up quite disabled. And in a strange way, I think I might have been more inclined to write about a disabled character or to write about disability back then, before my accident, because of that brief sort of touch I had with my grandfather and seeing his struggles. More so now, because the questioning element is done for me, because now I know so personally and so in-depth about disability, there's no longer that sort of questioning motive behind my work, which has to be there if you're an artist. So I think when you talk about those characters, where those authors, where they say their characters took on that, that sort of role, I think that shows that it's proper creativity at work there, and that's why I don't think I've ever forced a disability on any of my characters, because that has to come out really naturally and it has to be a really questioning aspect to the work, or else the creativity isn't there.
Right. Well, hopefully that creativity surfaces soon.
So I think it will, but I'm really worried that because I'm such a dark writer that my one disabled character will be, I don't know, some sort of psychopath in a chair. So I'm sorry if that's the case, because I know we've had lots of that in the past. There's been too much of that. But that's just like who I am. I'm always after that crime element or whatever. So if ever I think about a disabled character, I'm always like, right, I want a serial killer, but I want this serial killer to be a female and in a wheelchair.
Well, if you're wondering at that book, you'll have to continue to read Honey Brown's books. Honey Brown, thank you so much for being part of our program today.
Thank you for having me. It's been terrific.
Hi, I'm Des McIntosh. December the 3rd is International Day of People with Disability.
So don't assume just because a deaf person is deaf, they can't be interviewed on radio. They can.
What if you couldn't piss unless I said so? What if you couldn't eat unless I fed you real slow? And what?
You know, I'm not a fan of what they've replaced cripple with. Special needs? Really? If there's one thing I've learnt being a cripple, it's that special is just a code word for shit. Special schools, shit. Special buses, shit.
You're listening to 3CR 855 AM on International Day a person with what they call it, disabilities. I don't.
So do me a favour, babe. Spend your life in my world.
Did you recognise the voice halfway through that little ad, or not ad, but information sting? It was Stella Young. Oh, she was a wonderful, wonderful woman who died too much, much too young. Oh, yes, but just last year, I think. She was a mentor for a writability group. And this is something for you. If you've got a disability and you really do want to write, not about it, but about generally, you can be trained to bring up your creative juices, as Honey Brown was talking about. Because Writability began in 2012 as a pilot partnership with Arts Access Victoria. And this Writability group encompassed access support, mentoring and manuscript assessments for aspiring and emerging writers with a disability. Tutors and guest speakers have included Stella Young, as we heard of, Kate Richards. Now, Kate wrote a fabulous book called Madness, a Memoir, which has gone on to be necessary reading for anybody who wants to become a GP. Carly Findlay, who writes blogs, Andy Jackson, a poet, and Sandy Jeffs. Look, this Writability group has really grown, and it's doing stuff with literary journals and a lot to be really part of. So Writability, have a look around for it. They have courses, and it's really something to consider. Now, as I said before, there were a lot of things that you could Google and get lists of books with disabilities. So if that's what you would like to do, what we often find is you have to read to be able to write. So start reading these books. Start finding out how other people are writing about them. And then maybe, hopefully, we'll have you in here with your book. So this has been Jan Goldsmith talking today on Disability Day, International Disability Day today. First of all, I spoke with Leah Van Poppel, who was CEO of Blind Citizens Australia, and then Honey Brown, an author of many books, Red Queen, After the Darkness, Good Daughter, Through the Cracks, and then this real change of genre one, 6 Degrees. And once again, I've been talking about writability and your ability as a writer to put it in word. Thanks for listening, and please listen in next week.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.